Okay, I'm going to bring the
Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Today is Thursday, February 15th. Time is a little bit after 3:31. So with us today is Senator Giesel, Senator Wilson, Senator Coghill, Senator Egan, and myself, Senator Meyer. And my trusty staff is here again. Christine Marsigan, Christopher Dickrell, and Max Stanley are going to be helping us with the recording and the LIO. So on today's agenda, we'll have two items. We'll take up the SCR 5 Alaska Reads, as Bill previously heard. We'll do that at the end as well. But I want to start out with SJR 2, which is a constitutional amendment relating to the appropriation limit. And as you guys, as this committee knows, this bill was heard in this committee. And at this time, I'll bring up Christine Marsigan. I have not heard this, so there may be some duplication and some review here on the part of the committee, and I hope you'll indulge just so I can get up to speed a little bit and the general public.
We have short memories.
Okay, good, good. Yes, all right. So if there's nothing else coming for the committee at this time, I will ask Ms. Marsigan if she can bring us up to speed, and I think she has been as much as possible working with the previous chairman's staff to try to get up to speed as much as possible. So, Christine, with that, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Christine Marsigan, staff to the Senate State Affairs Committee. Today we're hearing Senate Joint Resolution 2 that proposes amendments to the Constitution to the state of Alaska, which would reset an appropriation limit with certain exceptions. The version that you have before you sets it at $4,300,000,000. This bill was introduced in January 27th of 2017, and it was heard in committee three times. It was heard first on Valentine's Day last year, Mr. Chair, as well as on the 2nd of March and the 30th of March. There were five main people who provided invited testimony. This included Jeremy Price, the State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Bob Williams from the State Budget Solutions, and Penn Feifner from the Tabor Foundation and a former Colorado State Representative. Also testifying was Barry Polson, who is an economist and professor, and Matthew Mitchell, who is a Senate Research Fellow, and public testimony was left open to the public. There were a number of documents relating to Senate Joint Resolution 2. Some of them were included in your packet, and I have attached some of them for your review, Mr. Chairman. And I'm just going to recap really quickly kind of what happened at each of the three meetings that you had, that this committee had on that bill. So first of all, on the Valentine's Day last year, 2017, there was a sponsor presentation, and this is a 14-slide presentation that I have queued up here that basically reviewed the term appropriation limit as it's used in the Constitution. It also provided data on how many states have appropriation limits. It basically gave the background history and rationale for why we need to have SJR 2. It also brought forward the basics of how the bill would work, including spending that is exempt or outside the limit, as well as how the built-in growth formula works. One of the backup documents that was also included was a side-by-side language comparison from what is in the Constitution currently and basically what was in the previous version N. That has not changed substantially in this version M that you have before you, so that still stands. The testimony at that on that date included Jeremy Price, who testified in favor of the bill and stressed about the largely supportive feelings that there are on limits to keep government from growing excessively. And so and he pointed out that the challenge was to keep spending under control when times are good. Bob Williams from State Budget Solutions Representative also testified in favor of the bill. He served five terms in the Washington State Legislature where he worked on tax and spending limits. And there was a quite the discussion between the chairman and both those invited testifiers. There was a number of written testimony that came in. Dave Harbour, author of Northern Gas Pipelines, testified in favor of the bill. Matthew Mitchell, who's the senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, he studies state fiscal policies and the institutions that govern them. He also included 77 pages of academic papers for consideration. And also there was a letter of support from the National Federation of Independent Business Owners. On the second hearing, which took place on March 2nd of 2017, Mr. Fefner from the Tabor Foundation also testified in favor of SJR2 and pointed out some of the differences between Tabor, which is the taxpayer bill of rights that was passed in Colorado, and the differences between that and SJR2, and there was a conversation between the chairman and the invited testifier. Barry Polson, the professor emeritus of economics at University of Colorado, testified in favor, and once again the senior research fellow that provided all the academic papers testified also in favor, and there was discussion there. During the final meeting for SJR2, and this was in March 30th of last year, version M was moved by Senator Geisel, and the chair objected for discussion, and there were five changes that were presented. There was a high-level calculation worksheet for the committee, which shows how the base number in the bill was determined. The chair wrapped up discussion by saying that there will be forthcoming some data from a recent poll conducted by Dittman Research, commissioned by the Alaska Chamber of Commerce, and basically showed in a poll that they did, the widespread support there was for putting limits on spending and having a cap that works. The public testimony was left open. At this time, Mr. Chair, at your direction, I am happy to go through the original bill presentation that was presented to the committee last year at this time, or handle any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Marsigan, and I do see that Senator Dunleavy's staff from last year is here as well. So if we have questions that you can't handle, maybe you can throw a lifeline. So if there's no questions, Christine, why don't you go through the quickly?
Mr. Chairman, there is a question.
Senator Tuckett.
So we made a motion to adopt a version, but did we ever adopt it?
Senator Coghill, through the chair. No, we did not. The chair maintained his objection so that the bill could be further discussed.
So the only version we have at this point is the M version?
The original N version, that
N
is correct.
N version?
Yeah.
Oh, M is the proposal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I put
N as in Nancy and M as in Mary was the one that was moved and explained, but the objection from the chair was not removed.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Coghill, for making that distinction. Christine, do you want to go through the PowerPoint presentation?
Sure. Happy to do so, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
So SJR2, Constitutional Appropriation Limit Revision. This presentation basically first goes through some of the definition of terms that is used in Article 9, Section 16 of Alaska's Constitution. It talks about appropriation as statutory authorization to spend a specific amount of money for a stated purpose. Appropriations are often subdivided into allocations in the appropriations bill, and funds may not be spent without appropriation made by law. If there are any questions, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure you will stop me, but I'm just going to roll right along.
Okay.
Especially for some of you, this is the second time around. There's a lot of background that got put into this presentation. It talked about like the comparison with other states, how many other states have limits. Appropriation limits are part of the broader category of tax and expenditure limits, or TELs. And according to NCSL, there were 30 states that operate under a tax or expenditure limit And this map basically breaks down how they do it in terms of revenue, spending, a combination, or states that don't have a tax or expenditure limit. Roughly half of them did it constitutionally. They had to pass a constitutional amendment, and the other half were statutory. How did we get to our appropriation limit? And I really have to give kudos to the staff who originally carried this bill. They consulted with a lot of folks. They called up a lot of folks and really kind of got a sense of the history of how did we even get to this point, like how was the appropriation limit first figured out and determined, and then later on why we really need to change it. It basically is a timeline of when oil really started flowing here in the state of Alaska. Talks about the permanent fund dividend and basically gives a timeline and gives a comparison in terms of what was our unrestricted general fund revenue and budget history during that time period. And you can see that there was an exponential growth for the budget from FY 79 to FY 82, with our budget basically tripling during those years. And then, you know, it shows as a reference that in FY 26, the budget was 3.2. More on how we got our limit, basically SJR 4, which was passed by Governor Hammond during special session. anybody who tells you that Senate joint resolutions don't have anything to do with anything is not looking at something like this, where this really kind of tried to set a limit for what we could spend and what we should be spending. The voters reaffirmed the amendment and a planned revision of the limit. This time the support was 71% to 29%. It also shows that during this time period, interestingly enough, so once we've set a statutory appropriation limit in the 90s, 1986, in the 90s, we then create the Statutory Budget Reserve Fund and the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. So why SJR2 was brought forward? The Constitutional Appropriation Limit, Article 9, Section 16. The blue line is the existing limit, the darker blue. And I don't know why this doesn't show up quite as well on the map here. But and then it also shows the modified limit. And basically, it talks about how in FY17 the budget was $5.2 billion, while the limit was $10 billion, quite a lot. So basically, it's a cap that is ineffective because we could basically double what we were spending, and there's nothing to sort of rein that in. So this is the whole reason for wanting to reset that cap. And as I said, I give big kudos to the staff who previous chair who worked on this. They consulted with the Legislative Finance Division to review all of the existing statutory and constitutional appropriation limits. The Legislative Finance Division responded with an analysis, and they worked along with staff to be able to figure out what are ways in which we can close all of these different loopholes and sort of ratchet that down. I think in your packets there was a couple of documents that sort of went through item by item, which, you know, what should be included, what shouldn't be included, and some of those numbers would have to be recalculated for FY 2018, but the groundwork for the rationale of how you would do that has been laid. The key elements of Senate Joint Resolution 2's revision to the constitutional appropriation limit: it makes it a lot clearer, first of all, to understand the limit, and the bill basically simplifies the limit. There was some consultation with the Office of Management and Budgets materials where they had talked about in 1986 how that it's so complex because it has to be. But I think sometimes if you can set a hard limit, it doesn't have to be. The basics of SJR2 is this would need to pass during this legislature, so before the end of session and prior to the November 2018 general election. So once that was passed, the effective date, then the way they would calculate for SJR 2 would be effective for the fiscal year 2020 budget. So that would be 2 years from now. This slide basically shows all of the spending exempt outside the limit. So these are the things that you wouldn't count in that. And the only change from this that is in version M versus version N, Nancy, is they also included receipts from permanent fund as well. This further goes through the comparison of what is currently existing in the limit and then what this new limit would be in SJR2. And then the last part of this bill talks about its built-in growth formula. And this is a mechanism which adjusts the appropriation cap annually. And this is important because it adjusts the spending cap by 100% of the cumulative change in population and inflation. And that wasn't done previously. And I believe it was, Mr. Chair, it was Senator Coghill who brought this up in the very first meeting, saying, you know, hey, were these inflation dollars? Are these real dollars? And my understanding is that the staff had responded that, yes, that's the reason why there's just such a big gap now between this spending cap, which is $10 billion, versus this sort of mechanism that we would have in SJR 2, which would bring it down to, like, $4.3 billion. There were some other policy considerations why you would consider certain things within the appropriation or what things would be outside. A lot of this was covered during committee discussion, and I think had there been additional meetings specifically on what should be counted and what shouldn't, I'm sure there would have been more parsing of particular funds. And that concludes the presentation on SJR2, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to answer any questions, or try to answer any questions, or hold those for later.
Well, thank you, Christine. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at that slide 13 for further policy considerations. You know, I'm not too concerned about us as a committee discussing some of these items, because I think that is probably more appropriate for the Finance Committee, which this bill will ultimately go to after it goes to Judiciary Committee. So is there any questions that anybody would have, or anything that this committee can remember that was discussed on this bill last year that we should bring up again this year?
Christine pretty much covered it.
Okay. Good job, Christine. Mm-hmm. I have one question that you have, Christine. I know you made note that the last time this was voted on, it passed 71-29.
Correct.
I think that was under Governor Hammond. I forget which slide that was.
In November 4th, when they had to reaffirm the amendment, 71-29. And I would, if I may, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like to point out that when the previous chairman held the last meeting on this, he referenced that the Alaska Chamber had a study or a poll that was done by Dittman. And I think in your packets I have it. It's you know, it's an Alaska Public Opinion Survey, and it's probably about 25 pages. And on page 19, there's a sheet that talks about a spending cap. And this basically shows data between 2015 and 2016, showing, you know, general public support or opposition for a spending cap. And there's noted that in 2015, it's like you had 53% of the people polled supported a spending cap, but in 2017, 66% people supported a spending cap.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that's so the numbers are about the same, maybe a little less. 66 supported, 26% are opposed, and 8% unsure. Okay, yeah, so it's something that appears anyway that the public wants. And certainly it does need to be modified, as you pointed out, that the current one is not does not work. Yes, Senator Giesel.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I know that our Senate majority recently did a poll, and I'm recalling it was somewhere in the 70% now support the spending cap. And, of course, that was an unscientific poll, unlike the Dittman poll, which was scientifically conducted. Just a data point.
Yep, good point. I've seen various polls on this topic, and it does seem something that the public is overwhelmingly supports. You're right. Okay, is there anything else that the committee has on comments on this bill?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Giesel.
So one of the things I observe, and I just kept my documents, you know, from all of these versions, that we actually had three versions going through this process. And I just have the third version here. What did I do with it? So as your staff pointed out, we did not adopt version M as in Mary. M is actually. But so version N called for a spending cap of $4,250,000,000. Mm-hmm. Then there was another version, I, India, which was 4,200, and then it got refined in version M, Mary, at 4.3 billion. So it was kind of interesting. Senator Dunleavy kind of moved around those numbers a bit, but he did provide the document from Legislative Finance Division dated 3/29/17, which showed the calculations that brought him to 4.3. Mm-hmm. So that was helpful, but we did not ever adopt version M, Mary.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Senator Giesel. So what I'll do as the acting chair is remove my objection.
At ease,
sir. Brief ease. Okay, the Senate State Affairs Committee will come back to order. Apparently, the chairman last year did withdraw his objection to version M. So we do the committee does have version M in front of it at this time as the working document. And so I guess the question now is there any questions on version M? And I think, Senator Giesel, you pointed out there is a dollar difference, and the rationale for that number is included in our packet as well, put together by Ledge Finance. I guess was public testimony closed? Do you know? Okay, public testimony is open on version M of Senate Joint Resolution 2. So at this time, if there's no questions, committee members, we'll go to public testimony. And I'm not showing too many people to testify. If there's no one online, is there anyone here in Juneau who wants to testify? I understand you had quite a bit of testimony last year. Invited testimony, okay. Very good. Then with that, we will close public testimony and bring the bill back before the committee. Any additional comments on the from the committee? Senator Caulfield.
I think this bill should move forward because I think the question on how we can perfect it probably needs to continually move forward. But I think the people of Alaska generally are waiting for this, and but it's not been on their target yet. And so that's one of the reasons why you're probably not getting a lot of public testimony right now. And just getting some movement on it probably will generate that interest level. And so I would not want to hold it in committee much longer. Just for what it's worth, I know I'm the next chairman that it'll go to. The intent would be to draw as much public interest as we could before we get it up to finance. So it's got quite a journey to go, and we're day 32 coming up. So.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. And yes, I feel that this committee had quite a bit of discussion on this topic last year. It's pretty clear that the public wants this. My approach to this is from a policy standpoint, statewide policy standpoint, is this the right thing to do? And I believe it is. Now, we'll let you work out the judiciary matters as it pertains to a constitutional amendment, and then finance can work out the exact numbers of what should go in and what should go outside of that that limit. And then of course, it goes to the floor, and it's a higher hurdle on the floor, too, to pass, and then ultimately to the voters. Okay, any other comments? If not, Senator Giesel.
Mr. Chairman, I move this committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, version 30LS0123/M, as in Mary, with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Is there any objections? Seeing, hearing none, then that resolution will pass committee, so we'll stand at ease. Okay, the Senate State Affairs is coming back to order. Our next item for today is Senate Concurrent Resolution 5, Alaska Reads. And when we last considered this legislation, there was a conceptual amendment from Senator Wilson. Senator Wilson?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to remove my conceptual amendment 1.
Okay. Conceptual Amendment 1 has been removed. If there's no objections, and seeing here none, there isn't any. Is there any other amendments that committee members would like to make to this resolution at this time? Okay. Any additional discussion on this resolution? Okay. Seeing none, then Senator Giesel.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5, Version 30LS0538/alpha, from this committee to the next, with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Is there any objections from the committee for moving SCR 5 Alaska Reads from committee? Okay. Seeing none, then that will move to the next committee referral. So we'll stand at ease. All right, Senate State Affairs will come back to order. We've concluded our business for today. For next Tuesday, February 20th, it'll be a day of conflict. We're going to be taking up SCR 1, Uniform Rules Abstaining from Voting, HB 87, Conflict of Interest, HB 87 is the Conflict of Interest for the Board of Fisheries and Game. And then House Bill 44 is Legislative Ethics, Voting and Conflicts. So a lot of conflicts that day. So if there's nothing else to come before the committee, then we will stand adjourned at 4:05. We're adjourned.